up, heads, and welcome to another edition of Spider-Man, the animated series podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist and a writer, and all-around friendly neighborhood guy, it's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Hello, everybody.
For all those that are listening for the first time, because we do get new listeners.
Oh, no, this is my speaking voice. Hello.
You're going to get cancelled speaking like that. Like, what's his face?
I'm not imitating any race or
aren't you?
Nationality.
It sounded
no,
like you
I'm
were.
Just doing silly voice. Oh.
That sounds like Apu from The Simpsons. The reason I
Whoa,
say that...
Whoa, that is not what I was doing at all. Jesus, do you think I'd really start a podcast doing an impersonation of an Indian person?
No,
that
I know.
That is so racist.
But it sounds similar to it. I know you wouldn't.
It's the voice that me and my wife do to each other. It's a silly voice. Oh, yes, hello, yes.
It sounds it's like Apu.
It's not supposed to be. It sounds more Kingpin to me.
Because you know Hank Azaria, the voice of Eddie Brock and Venom,
yeah,
is also the voice of Apu. And I don't know how long ago this was, but he...
Someone else is doing it now, isn't
he? Yeah, someone else that obviously is of Indian heritage is doing the voice of Apu. Anyway, look, that was a total side note.
I will keep that to myself now, because if that is... It offends anybody, I'm so sorry, because that's not the intention at all.
I know the voice that you do, but I guess I've only heard like one or two words in that voice. But when I hear like a whole sentence, it kind of sounds like Apu from The Simpsons. That's all it is.
It's more me and my wife's version of us, like at 500 pounds, what we would sound like. Yes, give me the chicken, please. Oh, yes.
That's different there. That's a little different, I guess. Anyway, why the
let's every move on anyway. Fucking hell.
First thing we always talk about, how's the art life going since we last spoke?
I am currently drawing a book that I have written for. Actually, I think I can talk about it now because I saw that it's been like it's in previews. So I'm just going to talk about it.
Okay.
I am writing and drawing a Casey Jones one-shot comic for IDW, which is a tie-in to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by IDW and their big event for the year called Armageddon Game. And I'm gonna be picking up a copy of this one.
Very, very cool that you can finally talk about it, because although I loved all of your hints on previous episodes where you're like... driving that tray high on cocaine. Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's really cool that you're stepping into the Turtles world, because I know you're such a big fan.
Yeah, this is a series that I've been reading before I was a professional comic book creator. I read it as a fan. And now I'm a part of something that I was a fan of, which is cool because it's different. Like when you're drawing like a comic, you know, you've always been a fan of the character and stuff like that. But I've never been a part of something that I read or have read that I really like. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And I reread everything. And it was just so fun going through the series. It's such a good series. If you like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, please read the IDW series. I would say start at Cityfall, because then you're starting right when Leonardo is brainwashed to join the Foot Clan, which is fucking awesome.
That's already a cool premise.
And he's Shredder's right-hand man, and the Turtles and Splinter have to rescue him from his brainwashing. And that's a great starting off point, because it has...
I need to read this. Every time you pitch it like that, like any premise of a book, I'm like, that does sound amazing. I need to read that. I got to just pull the trigger and go on Comixology and get some compendiums or something.
I have some on my Comixology, and I have all of, you know, I got the hookup, baby. I got all the PDFs if you want to read it.
Oh, shit, that's true. Yeah. Okay, I definitely will. But yes, I think it's awesome you're stepping into the Turtles world. You also, I know you can't give anything away, but you also announced a new stepping stone in your career recently too, didn't you?
Yes, I have officially been greenlit for a creator-owned comic of mine, which is really awesome. I've been working really hard to try and get one of my own stories to be created and published. And the exciting thing is that I won't be drawing it. I'll just be writing it. And I know that a lot of people might not understand that, but my true passion is writing. And I am trying to kind of move away from drawing in my career. Look, drawing interiors is a young man's sport. Jesus Christ. Like, having a family and trying to draw interiors is crazy. Like, I'm good. I'd rather just draw covers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, draw and covers, like, and write stories.
And it's funny because my art's so much better than it used to be. And, you know, I just drew Batman, for Christ's sakes. Like, there's some cool stuff going on in my career. So I'm sure I would still, you know, if someone's going to offer me to draw Batman, I'd probably still do it. But I just want to be a full-on writer and a full-on creator of original content going forward. And hopefully this will lead me towards that, because that's the dream, baby, is to make your own stories and have it translated into film and not be poor, which I'm really looking forward to, hopefully, one day, because fuck me, it's awful right now.
I will say that, you know, since we started doing this podcast and we've got those episodes of Will's Wall Crawl to Marvel, and you explained how difficult and how long it took you to break in as an artist professionally and start drawing for Marvel Comics, which in itself is, well, it's a three-part episode, so it's quite the saga. But would you say that breaking in as a writer, even as a professional artist, was even harder?
Way harder. It's, so much harder. I mean, I had the luck of, you know, basically what happened to me was, it was either right before the pandemic or around that time when I was watching, I'm not going to say what the property was, but I was watching something that was connected to a beloved property that I love so much, and I hated it so much. Wing, I remember telling you about it. I was like, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen, and I was like angry at how bad
I know
it was.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
and I was just so angry at how bad it was, and I thought, like, I was sitting there doing the classic thing that everyone does that daydreams about, you know, writing or creating themselves. So, like, I could do a better job than that. Like, what I said was, is the classic thing, like, you and I say this all the time, like, why can't they just give us a go at it? Well, yeah. No one's ever going to fucking do that. You know what I'm saying? And I had this realization sitting there, on top of also watching a separate thing where George Lucas was talking about his passion for Star Wars and how he created it and stuff. And I was so inspired by, he's such an inspiring guy if you hear him speak. And I was like, you know what? I've got to start, you know, I got to get going on this, because it's never going to happen. No one's just going to, it's not going to fall in my lap. I got to work towards it. So after that, the pandemic hit and everything like that. And I was working at Marvel and I lost my job because they shut their doors down, which was crazy. I never thought that was ever going to happen. You know, in the middle of drawing Damage Control, which is on the shelves now. They just shut their business. And I thought, right, well, this is the perfect opportunity now to try and get work as a writer. So luckily I was able to, you know, make some contacts with some editors at some other companies. I've been writing and drawing a few little things, you know, when I was started this whole rant was, I'm lucky because as already an established artist, I was able to sort of barter, like, hey, can I write this, but I'll draw it as well. So people are more open to you doing that.
Sure.
But I know that that's a dangerous thing. Like I chat sometimes to Declan Shelby, who is sort of similar. He wants to
former guest well. Of this podcast.
That's right. He also wants to write more and all this stuff. He's amazing. Anyway, he's got a new book out. Old Dog coming soon. Image Comics, pick it up. Anyway, I'm freaking ranting now.
some writer you are. You need an editor on this conversation.
Basically, drawing is, I've done it so long as a profession that I'm losing the passion for it. And it's just a lot of work for, unless you're a top person, you're not making that much money. You're making an average salary.
Yeah.
And the work hours are crazy as a comic book artist, especially because I'm a penciler and an inker. You know, I work all the time. A lot of weekends, you know, 12 to 15 hour days, and I hate it.
And you're a penciler and an inker, so you can take that extra money, which then gives you that okay salary. Not like it's an amazing salary, like you're doubling up and you're getting double the money, which gives you loads of money. It only just barely makes it survivable or livable, especially when, as you said, when you have like a family and mortgage payments and stuff.
And the cost of living and all this other stuff is just has built up and bills and, you know, health. It's just, it's become too much, and you know how much it stresses me out, and you know, I need to make a change for my health as well. So I am trying to move away from comics. Editors, if you listen to this, that's not true at all. Hire me. I'm your boy. I always get the work done.
Sometimes we do this and you go, and like, I think this rant is totally something that you should share with people. And it's not revealing a horrible light on the comic book industry. It's sharing a reality of it. So yeah, but I love sometimes when I do this and you're like, buddy, can you just edit that bit out? Like, you run and then you're like, just delete that whole fucking thing.
I will say I am trying to retire from comics. I will not be done drawing comics professionally until, you know, I'm getting enough writing offers to cover it. So I'll be drawing comics for the next.
Well, yeah, and look, dude, you worked really fucking hard, and your style now is definitely where you probably want it to be when you started drawing professionally, where you wanted it to be, and it takes years to hone your craft. So don't dump it completely. But yeah, I think if you can do some of that and dip your toes in the water on drawing when you want to draw whatever you're being offered, and the rest of the time you're writing and you're producing your own stuff or you're writing characters that you really love, that sounds like a great fucking deal. But again, you've just said, how long has it taken you to get there? How hard you've had to work, the hours, the sacrifices, everything that you've done. Yeah, it's an insanely difficult industry. And, you know, when we were kids, we were both drawing and we were both aspiring to be involved in crafting stories around characters we love, whether that was in comics or movies or TV or anything like that. You went for it. I mean, I didn't, you did. And I quickly realized how insanely difficult it is for anyone to break into this industry and to just make ends meet, not even be famous, you know, not even like be the top selling book or the greatest story for this character and up there in like the top 10 of Batman stories or whatever it may have been. But yeah, just to get by. It's scary. And I, when I saw all of that, I was like, I'd never want to go into the comic book industry. For once, the older brother learned from the younger brother and something not to do.
It's tough, yeah. But look, here's the thing is, I talk to a lot of artists. A lot of artists say, if I'm not in between a book, what are they doing? They're drawing, right? And I realized I don't do that. When I don't have to draw, I don't draw. So that to me said, that's not your passion then. But what do? I do.
Do-do.
Writer. I write poop jokes. That's what I do. What I do is I create pitches and concepts and all this other stuff that I'm really passionate about and think of ideas. And it just goes back to playing with action figures as a kid and creating the stories for them and all that stuff. And I'm like, that was the quote. Like, we still remember some games that you and I played as kids, like when we played Metal Gear Solid on a stool with Metal Gear Solid action figures. And we were like, that was the coolest game we've ever played. Like,
he's talking about bar stools, listeners, not actual like stool. I know you made a poop joke earlier. I just wanted to make sure.
No more poop.
I remember that game. I remember our Batman, the animated series meets Spider-Man, the animated series game.
Yes. You had a whole bar for Wayne Manor and I had a single bar stool as Spider-Man's apartment.
Hey, that's real life, right? Like, that's what it was like. And was it the Joker and Green Goblin teamed up?
I have no idea.
Something like that. It was awesome. What a great game. Anyway, usually our life isn't as long, but obviously this is a big stepping stone in your career. So I wanted to talk about it fully. And also, you know, you have listeners of this show that have followed your career and are aspiring artists or writers themselves. And, you know, you share inspirations, you know, and you're never going to tell someone, don't do it at all. But also you share the reality of these situations and how fucking hard it is.
I've said a lot of negative stuff just because it's a tough industry. You're just the hours and stuff like that. It's just crazy. But I will never stop drawing. As I said, like, for instance, this book that I'm going to be doing, I'm not doing the interior art, but I'm doing variants, baby. Of course I am. And I cannot wait to draw variants for it because it's something I'll be drawing that I've created myself. I just have that inner itch that's like, even freaking working for Marvel and DC Comics, I look at it and like, And I'm like, I wish I was doing my own thing. So I've got the image bug, basically. Like, I want to create my own stuff. And I'll get there one day. I'm certainly making the right steps.
For sure. All right, should we go on to something completely different?
And again, editors, I love drawing, so hire me, baby. Daddy needs a paycheck.
Do you want to do some Kingpin and Smythe?
Oh, yes, mate.
You did the voice again.
You've botched another important operation, Smythe. You will do as you are told.
My name is Alistair Smythe.
It seems the new Alistair is just as disappointing as the old.
A crime lord known as the Kingpin.
As you should know, Smythe, in spite of my size, I have the agility of a cat. It is time for me to cut my losses and make a change.
Okay, so this week's Kingpin and Smythe scenario has been written in by Fred Shavitz. I mean, Fred Shavitz is also a great name. What did we have last week or last episode? I can't remember. It was
Fred Shavitz sounds like someone who covers, it's like a Lenny Kravitz cover band.
Yeah.
I'm Freddy Shavitz.
All right. So Fred Shavitz has said, Kingpin falls into a coma and Smythe must become the new Kingpin of crime in his stead. That's quite fun. So I was thinking when I read this, well, how did Kingpin fall into a coma? What do you think caused Kingpin to be knocked out permanently?
Well, I just discovered the best ham sandwich in New York City.
Ham sandwich again, connecting them.
I'm just, connecting it to the last ones, mate.
Yeah, see the last Kingpin and Smythe scenario to know what he's talking about.
And then a giant gust of wind picked up.
That was wind?
through New York City, and suddenly my ham sandwich was afloat in the air, Smythe. Oh, no. So I ran, and I wasn't paying attention.
Hang on.
Is
this
the middle of the street?
Stop. This is like Winnie the Pooh and the Blustery Day, but like Wilson Fisk and the Blustery Day. Is he running around in like just a red T-shirt?
No, he isn't in normal clothes. He's just chasing a ham sandwich, and then suddenly got hit by a 12-wheeler.
I love all the sound effects. They're
I don't know why I'm doing sound effects.
Okay, so all right, Kingpin gets knocked out by a giant lorry, and so Smythe goes into the hospital.
Get out of my way! Get out of my way! I need to see him! I need to see him! I need to see him! So I'm here.
Beep. Beep.
He's
in a coma, sir.
Why? What?
It's me, your brother. Ballister Smythe.
When I heard the news, I thought I would come and support you.
Oh,
Ballister, I'm so happy you're here. Ballister, I missed you.
I miss you too, Alistair. Why do you have dildos coming out of your shoulders?
It's a very long story, as long as the dildos themselves, but I don't have time for this. He's in a deep coma. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? Nothing. What are you going to do?
Well, I thought if you were here that you were going to possibly be a part of this story. Otherwise, what's the fucking
no,
point?
I'm just a doctor.
Just a cameo?
Yeah.
A cameo by Ballister Smythe.
I thought Smythe was going to... Okay. I'm not going to tell you how I know this, but Kingpin once sent me a message saying, if anything ever happened to me, please give this to Smythe. That's why I'm here, you see, because I heard about it. And anyway, here you go. And you'll give it a note.
Yes, what's it say? I open it.
Here, my little Smythe.
Oh, he's written me a note.
I'm going to start.
Sorry.
I'm going to start with a few kisses. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And one big kiss as well.
Oh, that was a big one.
Yes. So,
is this on the notes?
Yeah. Yes. I know you're so much on the notes. I know what you're thinking and saying. Now, if you're reading this, that means that I am either dead or I'm no longer functioning on a normal basis. So, just because the kingpin is down, it doesn't mean the kingpin of crime is down, Smythe. You must take up the mantle as the kingpin of crime.
Oh, my, it's my
in my absence. Also, try and figure out how to get me out. You know, if I'm in a coma, try and figure out how to get me out. Now, Smythe, if you want to do this, there's a few ground rules. One, you must gain 300 pounds, Smythe.
Okay.
That's non-negotiable. Two, you must shave off that mullet, Smythe. Bald as an eagle. You must not just take over as the kingpin of crime, you must become the kingpin of crime. Three, only wear white suit jackets.
I love how that isn't like... That's just how Wilson Fisk looks. It's that's how the kingpin of crime has to look. Like anyone that wants to be it has to be bald and fat.
it's like a sports person. It's their uniform.
Oh my God.
Okay. And then once you've completed that, tell your brother about it and I'll get you hooked up with the crime side of things. This is...
Oh, and make sure.
Yes, this is where I keep my secret stash of treats. You might want to clear it out because they'll just go off and it'll be smelly. Right.
And also make sure you give me a sponge bath every day.
Don't let your brother do it.
You get in those crevices. Get in there deep. Oh God. I can see Smythe like putting that note down.
Pushes to the limit, starts playing. He's just like eating hot the ham sandwich. Oh, this is a good ham sandwich.
And then okay, he goes through all of this. Yeah, he shaves his head. He's like, goodbye, yeah. New like, me.
He reaches a certain point where he's eating so much that his voice is like, oh, and he's like eating just about like 10 cannolis. He's like, oh God, those cannolis. Oh, them. They've looped my throat. Oh my God, I sound just like the kingpin now.
And then, okay, he assumes the kingpin of crime. He does amazing. Yeah, he's like running the world from Crime Central. Mm-hmm. He's taken over New York City. He's eradicated all of his enemies, taken out every single possible threat to his dynasty. Oh, and then he gets a phone call. He's awake. And he's just like, oh, I better go and see him.
And since he's like, and Kingpin is like super skinny, and since he's been lying there, his hair's grown into a mullet.
And Kingpin wakes
Hello,
up.
Hello, Smythe.
No, Kingpin wakes up and goes, who are you? You fat, ugly, bald man.
It's me, sir.
I'm not really into skinny little guys with hair.
I'm not really into fat guys with no hair. Oh, and then, what if they switch? That'd be so funny. Oh my God. Could someone, if I say it though, then it's kind of, I would love to do a Kingpin and Smythe scenario though, of them switching bodies. How has no one ever written that in? I just like a Freaky Friday of Kingpin and Smythe.
Well, if we ever run out of them, then you go.
Well, someone write that in then and add little like zhuzh to it so it's not the exact thing I said, but that would be amazing. All right. And that was this week's Kingpin and Smythe scenario. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to come visit us on Instagram and Twitter at Spider-Man TAS Pod or Facebook at STAS Podcast, where you can get up to date news and message us your Kingpin and Smythe scenarios there. Also, be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, as it helps us walk up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And finally, you can also follow Will and his social media pages, see his artwork, stay up to date on what he's working on now, and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist and writer. Will, where can our listeners find you?
Anywhere at Robson INK.
You're goddamn right. And if anybody else is interested, I'm also can be found on YouTube under a nerdy cooking channel called At Chef Alex Robson, where I cook fictional characters' favorite foods or recreate movie tie-in dishes with fast food items that were like limited edition menu items. I'm rambling, but yes, I'm also available there doing that as well.
You always have a t-shirt on that represents the video that you're working on.
Yeah.
Is that tax deductible then?
Yeah, once I start being able to monetize it, yes, it's tax deductible.
That's great.
So let's do some news before we go into our episode review today. Not loads of news since we last spoke, but still some things I thought were pretty cool. First bit of news was Sue Storm casting rumors are emerging, and there are two frontrunners right now. There is Lily James, who recently played Pam Anderson in the Pam and Tommy show, and she like was amazing. She disappeared into
Sue Storm.
Yes, that's the first choice. That's in the
I'm not too familiar with her work. I didn't watch that show, so I don't know.
She also played Cinderella, I think, in the live-action Cinderella.
Which, you know, I obviously saw.
And then the second frontrunner is Jodie Comer, who has been in Killing Eve, most famously for being the sort of hit woman that's in that show. She's
the main character?
She's not Eve, but she shares the spotlight with the character of Eve. So she's great. I just saw her in an amazing stage play performance that she did as well in London. And I think she would be, I kind of like her more than Lily James. So those are kind of rumors on two front runners.
I have to be honest, none of those excite me, but I mean, when it comes to casting, it's hard to be excited because you have to wait to actually see their performance, in my opinion. It's like, you know, the classic is Heath Ledger Joker, everyone pooed on it, and then you see it and it's iconic. So it's just one of the, I think it's good that they're casting not, you know, number one huge names, because I do like the Marvel Universe when it's like, I vaguely know this person, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it's worth seeing a trailer, like you said, or seeing how they do. Marvel usually does a pretty good job on their casting in general.
Yeah, their casting is actually excellent.
And then to attach itself to rumors, there's also a big rumor going around that Mr. Fantastic is being cast right now. Obviously, John Krasinski was Mr. Fantastic in Doctor Strange, but that's not confirmed that he's going to continue to be the MCU's Mr. Fantastic. And they've been looking at Penn Badgley, who is in that, what's the name of that stalker show on Netflix?
You?
Yeah. So the stalker.
I could see that. But I mean, I could see that. Why are they going so young?
Probably because they want to keep him around for a while. You know, like, let's get them. Because I guess he's probably like my age, like mid 30s.
No. The dude has white streaks on the side of his head.
No, not Mr. Fantastic. I mean, the actor, Penn Badgley.
Oh, I see.
Because that's where they're casting. Yeah, he was born like a couple months before me. And same with like Jodie Comer and stuff like that.
I'm a bit worried about young Fantastic Four, but that's just me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You want kind of some weather.
That's what, seeing John Krasinski, I was like, that's perfect, you know? Yeah.
A lot of people are saying just keep Krasinski, but we don't know what's going on. And obviously it's not that easy. So maybe Krasinski doesn't want to do it. Maybe he's like, I just wanted to do that cameo. That was fun. I don't want to, you know, be in a bunch of Marvel movies. Who knows? But yeah, Fantastic Four rumors.
The guy that tried out to be Captain America.
Yeah, but that was years ago, you know, like now he's, you know, his career is totally different. He's directing and he's doing stuff that he really wants to do. So you hear how much dedication you have to do to be in these Marvel movies and like, you know, how much you probably have to sacrifice in other projects as well.
Yeah, well, at least the movie universe pays well.
Yeah, fair. Next bit of news. Neil Gaiman, as he's been in the news a lot because of his Sandman show. They even just released a kind of special episode of an additional one of Sandman, a bonus episode, which was really good. But Neil Gaiman has shared his Doctor Strange pitch idea that he and Guillermo del Toro worked on back in 2007. Can you imagine?
That would have been something.
Yeah. How crazy would that have been? So I, when I read this, I was like, whoa, that sounds amazing. I really want to see that. But then I heard the pitch and you tell me what
I will start to let you know that I am not a Neil Gaiman fan. I love him as a person and I like, you know, that he's a master of his craft in his own right. But his voice, you know, his style, I've never liked. It's like something I really want to like. Like, I tried to like Slender Man, I couldn't.
Did you try watching it then?
I tried watching the first episode and I couldn't get through it.
Wow.
I tried watching the, I forgot what it was called, but with the two devils, the devil and the angel.
Yeah, I couldn't
get into that either. And his stories as well. It's something about it that my brain goes, this is not for me.
I loved both of those. I think it was Angels and Demons, was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, I understand. I'm not saying that I never say that it's crap, because I don't think it is crap. It's just not for me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, fair. Anyway, do you want to hear the pitch of the Doctor Strange potential that they were doing? And this was approached by Kevin Feige. He approached them. And this is when like Iron Man was just gearing up and they wanted to do Doctor Strange. And apparently Feige was like, no, we're just focusing on like the big four Avengers right now. And then by the time they got to Doctor Strange, this was kind of just dead in the water. But the pitch was, it was Stephen Strange becoming an alcoholic and a disgraced physician in the 1920s. Then becoming a master of the mystic arts around that time period as well, and then living out in Greenwich for 90 years, not aging and no one noticing it. Gaiman even says, I really like the idea of him just throughout the years, just living in Greenwich and not aging and no one knowing like who he is or what he does. And I thought, that doesn't sound very good.
No, and it really takes away from Captain America being the man out of time as well.
Yeah. And I think Gaiman even said like he was a man out of time. And I was like, that's Cap. That ain't Doctor Strange. Yeah. Yeah. So I can see why that wasn't.
Okay. Made.
Yeah. Next bit of news. Warner Brothers cancels Caped Crusader, the show that was going to be Bruce Timm and J.J. Abrams produced. The cartoon. They've canceled its release on HBO Max. So it's not apparently. When they came out and they said, yeah, because HBO is, Warner Brothers is canceling fucking everything these days. And they came out and said, well, we've canceled it, but because we're so deep into production, we're not going to release it on HBO Max. We're going to shop it around to other networks. So now.
Did you say J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams, yeah, is one of the producers.
Just a producer?
Yeah, Caped Crusader. And then. What's his name? The director of the latest Batman movie, I can't remember his name, Mike Wazowski. I don't know. Why do you have to do this to me? It's not Michael at all. It's fuck. It's not fuck either.
That's with an M, doesn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's Matt Reeves. That's
Matt
it.
Reeves.
Matt Reeves.
I heard that they've given him a open book to do whatever the hell he wants deal.
Okay, well, not on the cartoon with Bruce Timm. And Bruce Timm was kind of one of the...
No, people. Just like, I mean, like, they're like, you want to make a movie? You can have it. Like, whatever you want to do.
Right, well, this cartoon is now being shopped around to Netflix, Amazon, Cartoon Network, places like that. So it's a potential that we'll get to see it still. But it's not guaranteed, because if no network buys it, then we're never going to see it. Because they're not going to release it on HBO Max. I don't know why. I have no idea why they're doing this.
But I don't know what's going on with Warner Brothers in general. There's so many crazy things going on.
So many crazy things. Yeah, I don't understand. And then the final bit of news today, which is Spider-Man related, is Amazing Fantasy number 1000 has just released a preview. And it shows panels of Spider-Man recounting all the major events of his life, all the losses, all the heartbreak. And in that moment, he contemplates retirement, because even though Spider-Man has always said, like, I know Captain America says get back up, but Spider-Man in the comics has also been one of those people who's like, basically, don't give up and keep on going. Great power, great responsibility. But in this moment, he contemplates if it's too much for him and if he should do it anymore. So that's an interesting take. I wonder if they're going to go down the road of Spider-Man retiring from being Spider-Man.
Not when he has several titles on the shelves and still makes money.
Yeah, but I wonder if he'll like still be involved, but like not put on the suit for a while. And I don't know, other Spider-Mans kind of take the spotlight and he's kind of a, you know, in the background character helping them out.
It would be weird because they, I mean, Dan Slott's got a Spider-Man book. Seb Wells, who I worked with on Spider-Ham, has a Spider-Man book. And then plus there's like 10 other ones of various different Spidey books. So I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Okay. Well, maybe it was just one of those things in a book where they're like, he just had a moment of weakness and then on he went. Who knows? But Amazing Fantasy number 1000 is quite the number.
It's very cool.
That's a lot. All right, you ready to review this episode?
I did see some other news.
Nope.
with Ezra Miller.
Yeah, well, I don't know if
he's reportedly sat down with DC or something like that, or Warner Brothers.
Did you read what he said?
No, I just heard that.
So he said, yeah, so he's gone into rehab now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and he sat down with Warner Brothers. And apparently this was from a Warner Brothers exec, so it wasn't taken from Ezra Miller directly. But apparently he didn't care about all of the negative attention and what he was doing in the news. He didn't care about any of that. What he cared about was that it was damaging the Flash movie that's coming out next year. He didn't want it to damage the movie, so he decided to turn himself in and get help so the movie could be saved. Now, that sounds like...
Like a studio is talking with their hand up his ass like a fucking puppet.
Absolutely. Yeah. That sounds like a studio being like, he's getting help because he loves this movie and he put his heart and soul into it. And we will not only not pay him if he doesn't do this, but we will probably sue him and take all of his money. That's
exactly what happened. Like, look, you better fucking get yourself clean or we're going to cancel this movie. You're not going to get paid. You're not a part of this universe or anything else. If you want to survive being canceled, this is your only way out.
And sue him. I'm sure that was probably something that was threatened as well. Which we don't know for sure. Speculation, of course. But yeah, he's...
I would like a documentary about him one day because I heard that he has like cults in Scandinavia and stuff like that. I want to know everything about this weirdo.
Well, I keep on saying he, and apparently I read recently that there was an article referring to him as them or they. I think that's his pronoun. Yeah. So, I'd be interesting to see what they have to say about them. Sorry, right. I'm just stumbling on my words there. It's
Could you
crazy.
Say thee or thou?
No.
That's gender neutral, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not the pronoun police, so I don't know.
Thou playest the Flash in the film.
So shall thou stop talking about this shit and can thou review the episode with me now?
I was actually just asking like general curiosity. Yeah, if someone knows, I would like to know because I would like to use it though because it's fun to say. But then that's not very nice because these people go through a lot of stuff and they should have the right to do it. They should be called. So you know what? I'm just being a white guy who's privileged being like, I want to say thou. No, I'll shut the fuck up. Moving on.
How do you know about stuff like this?
Hey, who do I look like? The Tick? My spider sense is going bonkers. I'm not sure I understand it all myself, but here's what I know.
Are you ready?
Go for it! You're here amongst friends.
What's that in your hand?
It's some kind of recording device, I found.
I can't believe this! How could they get it so wrong?
Now there's nowhere Spider-Man can run. At last he'll get what he deserves.
Thanks, Aunt May. I needed that.
This is something you have trouble remembering?
Hey, I hear that kind of thing 2-3 times a week.
Face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot.
All right, this episode, which came out on May 10th, 1997, is called The Awakening. It was written by Sean Catherine Derrick and stars Christopher Daniel Barnes as Spider-Man Peter Parker, Jennifer Hale as Black Cat Felicia Hardy, Liz Georges as Deborah Whitman, Patrick Labiateau as Flash Thompson, Don Reed as Clay Marks, Nick Jameson as Michael Morbius, Joseph Campanella as Dr. Kirk Connors, Bob Bergen as Ned Leeds, Roscoe Lee Brown as Kingpin Wilson Fisk, David Warner as Herbert Landon, Olivia Murhead as Whistler, Oliver Murhead as Whistler, sorry, Jim Cummings as Shocker, and Neil Ross as Norman Osborn Green Goblin in a flashback. So, first and foremost, what did you think of this episode, bud?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah? What did you like about it?
Oh, it's getting to near spooky season, and it was all vampire and stuff like that. So, and I had the Shocker in it, who's, you know, one of my favorites, so I just had fun.
Yeah, I did like the appearance of the Shocker. I did hear Jim Cummings' voice in multiple, like, background, like TV presenters or, like, background characters. I was like, that's undoubtedly Jim Cummings. And I know that he does the voice of the Shocker. So I was like, I bet the Shocker's in this episode. And when he showed up, I was like, I feel vindicated. We've also got a new voice for Whistler in this episode. Before it was the guy from Clockwork Orange. Well, I can't remember the actor's name.
Oh, I thought it was still the same guy.
No, is it Alex McDonald?
I think so.
Yeah. Or Alex is his character's name. It's something McDonald. Wow, that's terrible. But this guy is Oliver Murhead, who has taken over. He doesn't have anything that really stands out for me. He's been like a character named Dean Wesley in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Dean Wesley.
Yeah, I don't remember that. He's John Eccles in Mad Men.
I'm watching Mad Men right now.
John Eccles.
How do you spell that? John.
Well, you want Oliver Murhead, don't you? That's the name of the actor, not the character's name.
I recognize this guy.
I do too, but I can't put my finger on where I know him from. He's in Fun with Dick and Jane as an account rep. I just watched that movie recently again. I quite enjoyed it, but yeah, I there's nothing that really stands out.
I can't
tell, but he is the voice of Whistler in this show, at least for this episode. I don't know why McDonald didn't come back. Malcolm McDowell. It's not even McDonald. It's Malcolm McDowell. Fuck my life.
I'm knee deep in Oliver Murhead's IMDb. I must know.
You're not going to be. I've looked. All of the things that you could recognize him from, I think he just looks like someone else that we know, to be honest, because I would have spotted a role.
Seems like he has a lot of, like, he's in a lot of stuff we know, but just, like, once.
Yes, as, like, a single appearance character or, like, a background character. Anyway, he's the voice of Whistler in this show. Probably the most famous that we know him for.
He's also lost in a single episode.
Great. So put your phone down now. We're done with Oliver.
He's in
Murhead.
Two episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Which, coincidentally, the first episode of Buffy the Vampire...
I know where I know him from!
How?
He sells Chandler Monica's wedding ring.
Oh my god!
Nailed it!
Wow. If he was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer came out a few months before this episode. The first episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer came out a few months before this episode aired, which is pretty cool because that
I didn't get into that show till like I was 20 years old, and then I watched all of it in like a week, and I was like, "Wow, I'm a big fan of that. That was great."
Yeah, that show swept the world for quite some time. So I thought the animation was pretty good in this episode, especially some of the 3D models. Did you notice that the animation
it just seemed like it was a lot of work to make it?
Yeah, I felt like the animation studio really kind of stepped up and did some amazing web-slinging sequences in this episode.
Yeah, changing directions and all types of stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Very classic horror movie vibes to this episode, with Felicia being in love with Morbius and him being ashamed.
Probably why I liked it so much as well.
Yeah.
That retro spook vibe.
Yeah, and like Morbius is like, I'm a monster. Like, no one can love me. That's a real sort of classic horror movie piece, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So some highlights I really liked of this episode was the beginning with Spider-Man like tolling over the loss of MJ and his love for Black Cat and what might happen to her if he tells her who he is. And
yeah, these recent episodes have been full of like, hey, remember this on the show?
Yeah, there has been a lot of flashbacks, hasn't there, the last few episodes. But I do like that kind of classic Spider-Man feel of being like, I wish I could tell her how I feel, but if I do, her life will be in danger.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking she is the Black Cat, so she's not exactly, you know, a human that just is vulnerable like MJ was. She does have superpowers, so maybe that would be your best bet. Were you team Spidey or team Morbius? I felt like it was like Twilight. We had to pick between Jake and Edward.
Team Morbius, because he was just wanted to not be who he was.
I mean, I think Morbius and Black Cat look great together. I think
I thought that the design of Vampire Bat Morbius was great.
I was going to say, I have a question. What did you think of Bat Morbius?
I thought he looked awesome.
Yeah, I did too. He was like a werewolf mixed with a bat, wasn't he?
He would have been a cool toy.
I was thinking, did they make a toy of that Morbius? I feel like they did maybe years later, like a down the line sort of thing, like right. After it was done. I feel like I saw that toy somewhere.
Well, we can spend 10 minutes on Google while people quietly.
The take off our masks scene felt really sexual. Like when they were in the alleyway and she's like, we could just take off our mask. I was watching it with my girlfriend. She's like, are they about to fuck? I was like, it feels like it.
You're like, I hope so.
It was really like, it's sexually charged. I was like, these two characters they're turned on.
You're with your girlfriend, you're like, put something hot on, like you're about to like start making out, you like put that on.
Yeah, that's our get in the mood scene. It's the only way I can get hard and come, bud.
Good one, well done,
thank you. Love the flashback to Goblin when remembering what happens to his identity, like, you know, if his identity is revealed again, it's a lesson that Spider-Man has learned. And just like how psychological that episode was with the Goblin. I thought that was great at the dinner table. Deborah Whitman and her team on the beach felt very Captain Planet to me. I don't know why, but like the animation looked kind of Captain Planet and that location looked Captain Planet. And I was like waiting for them both to like bust out their power rings and summon Captain Planet to save the day.
Mm.
And I miss that cartoon. I bet it doesn't hold up at all. And I bet it's really bad. But I wouldn't mind watching an episode one day just to see how bad it was. But we had loads of toys of that show. Do you remember?
Yeah, I was never really into it.
No, you went into saving the environment. You were like, just burn this fucker down.
I was a vegetarian for 5 years.
Yeah, you did your bit. That's true. You were.
I've done my bit forever.
Yeah. You were Captain Planet. 5 years,
no meat, vegan for 3 months. I've done my bit.
Yeah, you were Captain Planet for those 5 years. Well done. Yeah.
I had a roast beef sandwich today.
When they go in the cave,
nice, mate. A bit slice of provolone and
a bit
of pepper and a roll, crusty roll.
I mean,
salt and vinegar, hula hoop, mate, and carrots and celery sticks with hummus on the side and a Diet Coke to wash it all down.
So, for all our listeners out there, we've recently talked about how many episodes of Spider-Man do we have left on this show? And we discovered that we have 19 episodes left to review this show. And there's also 19 weeks left in this year. So we decided to do one podcast a week. But when he goes off on tangents talking about fucking hula hoops and roast beef sandwiches, I immediately regret that decision.
We know what the people are here for. They want to hear what I'm having for lunch. I'm starting my own podcast. What am I having for lunch? And guess what? It's pretty much one of three things.
Oh, God. It's like prison. That's what they do in prison.
Sounds great. I always know what I'm going to get.
So when they go into the cave, back to the episode review, when they go into the cave and they see Morbius hanging there, that dude that's with Deborah goes, Morbius the vampire. He's even more horrible than I imagined.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, all right, dude, steady on. First of all, like, fucking have a heart.
He does apologize, though.
He does. But also, he's sleeping. So, like, if you're going to wake him up, he's going to wake up hearing that. Like, you're dead. There's no way he's going to let you live. If you're like, you're more horrible than I imagined, he's going to suck you dry, baby, with those little suction cups.
It's the only way he gets hard and comes, bud.
Did you notice the character of Ned Leeds in this episode? You know, obviously from the MCU Spider-Man movies, his best friend is Ned Leeds. But
he's in this?
In the animated series, we've seen him before, only in like a picture, I think, or like in a passing background scene. But he's at the Dr. Connors EC, like the Empire State University reveal of Sleeping Morbius. And Ned Leeds is the Daily Bugle reporter who basically is like, I gotta fucking get back to the Daily Bugle and make sure that everyone knows about this bloodsucker or whatever he says. And he says that to Peter Parker. And I was like, oh shit, that's Ned Leeds. He's a white dude with like blonde hair. He looks like a surfer in this show.
I didn't even say he's a sofa.
I did too. I almost said sofa. He looks like a sofa.
He's fat as shit.
Oh, God. Did you notice Felicia Hardy's driver, like her personal private?
Yeah, I was like, that's me.
I have that written down. If you shaved off your beard and kept your mustache, you could be cosplay as Felicia.
Tank of a man.
I was also like, is that Dum Dum Dugan? Like, it kind of looks like Dugan.
I guess I look
as well.
A bit like Dum Dum Dugan as well, then.
I guess you do. But yeah, if you shaved your beard off, kept the mustache, you could be Felicia Hardy's driver.
Cool, I'm really going to aspire to that.
And I love how he's like, we got to go. And then she's like, I'm staying. He's like, okay. And then I was like, is he just going to take the car for a joyride?
Whee!
He's like, my job is done here. Flashback of Morbius transforming into a man-bat was, again, very graphic and violent sounding. Like, you see that brief moment where he's...
I knew you were going to comment on that.
Because he screams and you hear those bone crunching and like that morphing sound that they have in the show. And I heard it and I was like, oh. And even my girlfriend looked up and she's like, oh. Like, it instantly sounds graphic. Like, you don't even have to look at it, but the scream and the sound alone is really uncomfortable. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you're a wimp.
Oh, yeah, okay. When Connors is turning Morbius back into his former self and the assistant says, are you sure he isn't going to wake up and chow down on us? I laugh because I'm like, would they do it if they weren't sure? Like, this is fucking a science experiment. I guess they go wrong a lot in this show. But I don't know. I just thought that was weird. And also, chow down didn't make sense because he doesn't bite people. He sucks on them with his little suction cups.
Yeah, which is way worse, I think.
I think it is too. Kingpin and his two-faced gimp showing up was a nice little surprise. I was like, oh, okay.
I noticed this time that his mutation goes all the way down to his little foot. Did you see his little mutated foot sticking out?
His whole half of his body. So that means half his penis and one of his nuts.
One of his nuts. we know which one hangs lower than the other then.
Oh, God.
You just got a regular nut and then like an avocado next to it.
A hairy avocado.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's, yeah, I noticed that too. His little
Do you think it goes straight down the cock as well? Like, it's like a perfect half and half.
Oh, God. I was going to say it looks all shriveled and wrinkled, but it probably looks like that on both sides. Just one's green and one's not.
Do you think when he has a wank, he uses the green hand so it's like someone else is doing it?
And then he cuts himself on the claw. He's like, ow, ooh.
That's the only way I can get up. If I pretend that this green hand is jerking me off.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. when Kingpin was told he'll be made immortal, his face is perfect.
Yeah, like, hey, that sounds nice.
Yeah, the animation on his face was so good. They really, as you said, they kind of stepped it up with the animation in this episode. Also, Whistler really loved his tea when talking to Black Cat. Did you see his face? I was like, that dude fucking having an orgasm under that table? He took a sip and he's like, oh, like, that's the best tea I've ever had.
I'm glad for the film they made Whistler like more of like a southern like badass, because I just, the British guy just doesn't suit, like, the southern cool guy is much of a better choice.
I agree. Yeah, then the upstanding...
Got you fuckers at a bad time!
Oh, so good. Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing.
Catch you bastards at an inconvenient moment, man!
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Oh, man, I love that so much. Oh, God. Anyway... You mentioned Shaka showing up in this episode. That was a nice addition too. Did you feel like there was too many characters in this episode again? Or were you okay with it?
I was all right with the amount this time.
There was even more than last week's. Or last
episode. But no one was fighting for like, I need a quip. or anything like that.
I suppose you're right.
Because Shocker's like, I'm a paid man. I'm here because I'm being paid. Langdon was there because he wants to cure himself. Kingpin's there because he could be immortal. And Morpheus is there because he's been kidnapped. So it all worked.
Yeah, it did work. What do you think of the Morbius chase through the city? Like, I thought that whole sequence was pretty cool.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man, like, web-slinging onto him as he's flying away. And again, camera angles were really great in that sequence. Like, Spider-Man, like, flew past the camera at a really cool angle whilst holding onto the web and, like, yelling at Morbius to stop. Yeah, I thought that whole sequence was really done well. Morbius being hungry and trying not to feed on people just sounds like me on a diet. Like, I was just like, must feed. No, I can't.
Well, it's not, he never went, no, I can't. Just the moment he was about to feed, someone would always interrupt it.
No, he did say no, I can't once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where after he like encountered Black Cat and she said, like, I'm Felicia, meet me in the clock tower and blah, 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 and all of that.
But he does feed off of Langdon.
Yeah, at the end. But Langdon's a bad guy, so I guess they make that okay. I wonder if he tasted bad, like half like shit, where he's just like, oh, one half is nice, but the other half tastes like green mutated poo.
It's like pistachio flavored. I wasn't expecting that.
No, but he like jumps down on a couple in the park. And he goes to feed and he's like, no, I can't. And then he just flies away from them. So he doesn't actually feed on them. He stops himself because of Felicia, like being alive and talking to him and all that shit. Yeah, I really liked Felicia being like powerful enough now to be involved in this and not just like a damsel in distress like she was in the other Morbius episodes. Her being the Black Cat and like actively trying to save Morbius was really cool, actually. Mm-hmm. Spidey wasn't really doing much in this episode or being
he was there,
but that was it. And then the episode ends with Morbius returning to his former vampire self and he escapes the lab. Spidey and Black Cat ask Spider-Man how he deals. Oh no, Spider-Man and Black Cat chat and she asks him how his emotions and his life behind the mask, like how he deals with it all, which I quite liked, like her learning how to be a superhero and like balance both her personal feelings and life with being a superhero, because that was the theme of this whole episode. And then it ends with Spider-Man swinging away, thinking about he was glad that Felicia was out of town whilst Morbius was back, because he didn't think that she would be able to handle it. But little did he know that she's the Black Cat. Yeah, it was an all right episode. I think the next episode is another vampire episode that involves Blade and Blade's mum, if I remember correctly.
Oh, is this when she, it's like the film, she's like the bad person, right?
Yeah, she's like almost like a Dracula
character.
I think that's the next one. So I think this kind of leads into that episode. But yeah, it wasn't a bad episode. Wasn't anything. I kind of felt like it was over before it really got going. Like all these characters and things were kind of happening and then suddenly it all ended in that lab. I was okay.
There's a couple things I wanted to say. One, that machine was turning him back into regular Morbius because it took him down a stage. So really, he should have been like, hold on, Felicia, let them keep shooting me and then I'll be turned back into a human, right? And the other thing is I can't believe you didn't even comment on the funniest thing that happens in this with Kingpin. When Kingpin just walks into the room when everyone's broken in and he stands there for like 3 seconds, says nothing, turns, looks up, another second goes past, and he just goes, what? And then, gets kicked by the Black Cat.
It's such a weird moment. Oh, man, I must have in my note-taking missed this scene.
He just walks in. What's going on? What? And then just is kicked. Oh, it really cracked me up. There was something else that really made me laugh. Oh, when they're in Felicia's apartment, Spider-Man's like, oh, we're going to escape my way, and grabs her. And they just swing to the rooftop adjacent, and then they just have a long, deep conversation. I'm like, Shocker could just stand on the balcony and be like, pa-tom, and just like shoot his Shocker at them.
I can see you.
We're safe. We're 20 feet away.
well, like the last episode, we established that apparently rooftops are like the easiest thing to get to and the safest place to be.
Apparently.
Now, I must have missed the Kingpin scene when I was taking notes. I did see the scene where the door shut between him and the Black Cat, and he's like, "We shall meet again." Or like it was Morbius, I think. Yeah. All right. Since there was some breaks of censorship in this episode, we're going to do some censor thwip for this week.
This is a joke, right? Oh, this is not a joke. Hey, I got First Amendment rights.
We just amended them.
Wait a minute. Looks like I was mistaken.
Nothing personal, Webhead.
Well, isn't this the story of my life?
So, you don't like names, huh? Well, that's too bad, Frog Face. Because to me, you're nothing but a two-bit, no-account, second-rate sewer breath baboon with the brain of a pigeon and the face of an eel.
Stop it!
Okay, for those that don't know, this show had a lot of censorships. Like most shows of this time period had a lot of censorships to abide by. For instance, no blood or using the word blood. No using the words kill, death, or die. No broken glass. No shooting bullets. No foul language. No children in danger. And my favorite, no harming pigeons. Hashtag pro-pidge. I just recited that off the top of my head, bud. That's how long I've been doing this. I remembered all of the fucking...
Only 18 of them to do more.
Okay, so a few things. Flash mentions that Morbius almost killed him when talking about Morbius with Deborah. He used the word killed. So that is something that was usually a no-no. Then we've got Ned Leeds saying bloodthirsty vampire when he said he's going to go back to the Daily Bugle to let people know about the return of this bloodthirsty vampire. That's quite a break there. Then we got Peter Parker says it was my blood sample that made Morbius. Now, I think that's all right, even though he says the word blood. How else are you going to say blood sample? Mm-hmm. And it's not depicting violence. Like saying he almost killed me or bloodthirsty vampire, that's, I think, a connotation of violence. But blood sample isn't. That's just scientific. And when Felicia drops a bottle on a mirror, it is shown broken and is shown breaking into
pieces.
That's
true.
So we see all of that as well. So those are the breaks in censorship, but no pigeons in this episode. So they must all be okay and sitting on a rooftop much further away than Felicia's apartment. Ha ha.
Ha!
Fucking dick. All right, you want some friendly neighborhood quiz game?
Sure.
All right, give me a jingle.
Friendly neighborhood quiz game.
That okay, that's short and sweet, this one. All right. Were you doing the Apu voice again?
No!
Okay, question one. There's only three questions this week.
Oh, and by the way, I have one for you.
Oh, exciting. Okay. Question one. Spider-Man is swinging through the city and a billboard advertising a famous soft drink is displayed.
Cola.
Yep, that's right. Question two. Fill in this quote. Shocker says this to Spider-Man. Long time no see, blank for brains.
Web for brains?
Correct. And question three, final question. What did Kingpin use as a door for a secret entrance to his laboratory?
Ooh, I have no idea.
He walks into a specific shop, which has a tie-in with vampires, actually. And
a morgue?
Yeah, but what does he use to open the secret entrance?
Coffin?
Correct.
Oh, yeah, now I remember that. Now, what is the name of that morgue?
Oh, no!
It says it on the window.
Does it? Shit, I don't know.
At the end, when Felicia and Spider-Man are talking to each other.
Oh, fuck, I remember seeing that. There was, yeah. Oh, it's gone from my brain. I don't know.
It's Rigger and Sons Mortuary.
So
like Rigger, because I picked it up because I was like, oh, like Rigger Mortis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they put Rigger and Sons, then it's not Rigger. Why wouldn't it just be Rigger Mortuary? Because then it sounds like...
Because it's a family-owned business, bud.
There's more than one Rigger. All right. All right. Well, that's the Friendly Neighborhood quiz game. You got 3 out of 3. I got 0 out of 1.
Wah, wah, wah.
And the final category today for this episode is what you're doing with your life. What are you watching, reading, listening to?
I am drinking too much scotch daily and watching Mad Men.
What else did you just binge? Oh, Sopranos as well. Yep, Sopranos.
I finished Sopranos and now I'm on Mad Men. I just love that show so much. I don't know what it is about that show. I just love seeing, I mean, watching the times change from the very conservative sort of post-nuclear family going more into a, you know, liberal society. It's very, very interesting to see, especially when they play all of the different like little pieces of history in there. And I've always romanticized about going off and working like in New York. It's probably because that's what our dad did when we were a kid, where he'd, you know, get in a suit and go work in a big building in New York City. And I just think that there's something about that. Like I always said to my wife, like I would love to wear like suits all the time for work. That's like a dream of mine. So, and you know, it's really well acted and well written as well. So I love that show. It is, you forget how much like the misogyny is like shocking at points where you're like, oh my God, like the way people speak. But that's like the point of it, because that's, it's to show how different society is. And all that.
Well, and how difficult it was to be a woman working at that time period as well.
Absolutely. So I've been really enjoying that. I guess I'm going in more of a, I haven't found too much new television, so I'm kind of going back to old familiars and reliables to keep myself entertained. And I've also been listening to a lot of the band Phish recently and enjoying some deep jams, mate.
Nice. That's cool. Well, we're both watching She-Hulk as well, aren't we? That's kind of a new thing that we're both watching.
I'm enjoying it. You're not enjoying it?
I wouldn't say I'm not enjoying it as a whole. I enjoyed the first episode. I thought the second episode, I don't know, it just didn't land for me. Maybe I just wasn't in the right mindset, but didn't think it was very funny. Felt some of the characters, like in her family, and that whole dinner sequence was really forced and awkward.
And I thought that whole sequence was very funny. And
you did, yeah. Which is fine. And I thought it was over before it really got going.
And I thought it was just the right amount of time.
And I bet you we're going to be very Woody and Buzz divided on this, where if I like an episode, you won't, and vice versa. But we'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll both be like, that was great at the same time.
Well, they catch me at a good time. I usually watch it on Friday when I finish my week's worth of work and I've got a few glasses of wine in me. So that's when I watch it.
Fair. Yeah, it comes out on Thursdays now instead of Wednesdays. Like every other show has come out on a Wednesday, but they're like, She-Hulk's on Thursdays. And I was, that's interesting. Why are you doing that? It's not like there's another show that it's competing with. But I will keep on watching because it's entertaining enough. Also watching Welcome to Wrexham, which is the documentary about Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney purchasing Wrexham Football Club. Mm-hmm. Which is only, there's only about two episodes, but it's great. It's like a real life Ted Lasso in a way. It's definitely, it's worth a watch. What else? I recently purchased this film called Act of Valor, which is based on Navy SEALs. I saw like a trailer for it on YouTube randomly. And I, as my brother knows, but listeners don't, I was obsessed with being a Navy SEAL when I was a kid growing up in America. I put myself through my own hell week. I lost a ton of weight. I was training to be...
Because you liked the video game SOCOM Navy SEALs and the movie The Rock and the movie Navy SEALs starring... what's his name?
The same dude who was in The Rock. He's a Navy SEAL commander in both those movies.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he plays Kyle Reese in Terminator. Michael Biehn is his name.
Apparently not a very nice man in real life.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I was obsessed with being a Navy SEAL, and then I found weed and I was like, fuck that. This is way better.
I thought it was that someone was like, you're English, right? And they're like, you can't join the Navy SEALs. And wasn't that it, where you were like,
I had to be an American citizen. And
you could be the fucking SAS, which is way better than the Navy SEALs. We're known for that shit.
Yeah.
You could have been James friggin' Bond, which you love. You could have trained and gone off to be James Bond.
Yeah, well, don't make me feel worse about my choices now, because that's not happening. Anyway, I purchased this movie because I was like, well, I love Navy SEAL stuff. And this trailer I watched and this sequence I watched being broken down by an actual Navy SEAL was really interesting. So I was like, oh, I'll get that.
Did you watch one of those things on YouTube where it's like real Navy SEAL breaks down?
Yes, yes. That's how I came to find this film. So it's not good because they decided to use actual Navy SEALs to play the Navy SEALs in this film, which is cool. In theory, you're like, oh, yeah, that's cool, because then they'll do everything like right. You know, they'll do all of the hand signals and say the right things, and tactically they know what they're doing. But guess what? They can't fucking act. Surprise, surprise. So when one of them's like, you're my brother and I love you and I will die for you, I was like, I don't believe you. Like, there's no way.
You're my brother. I love you very much.
Why are you doing that voice again? Why is Apu in this movie?
No, it's not fucking an Indian accent, for Christ's sake.
Oh, God.
I don't know what my... I think my brain just auto does it. I think my wife is used to me just... Like, she's like, what are you up for dinner? I'm like, hey, want your chicken palm, please. Thank you very much.
Say, come
no
again.
I don't even know why I'm sharing this. It's one of those stupid things you do when you're in a relationship that no one else would understand.
No, that's fair. Yeah, so this movie is not good. The action sequence are great, but they only happen... I was rowing on my row machine for like half an hour, and it was just bad acting for half an hour, and then they're like, all right, let's go in there and save her, and I was like, I'm done rowing now. Like, this sucks. So yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. And then finally, the last thing that's going on in my life is I'm going to Secret Cinema, which is one of my favorite types of events. I'm going tomorrow night to the Guardians of the Galaxy Secret Cinema, which will be pretty fun, I think. Yeah, they're gonna create giant set pieces like they always do, have all the characters, and we're gonna go there with some of my friends, and we got to all dress up like Ravagers. And
you paint yourself blue?
No, I'm not gonna paint myself blue, but I've got...
You got a red leather jacket?
No, I don't have a red leather jacket. They call it a clan. My Ravager clan colors is orange. And I was like, I don't have any orange. So I've just got this like orange bandana that they tell you you can wear.
I've gotten into wearing orange this year. I'm wearing an orange shirt right now.
Yeah, you look like Uncle Roger.
Uncle Roger?
Yeah, he's a YouTube guy that wears orange polos. Only orange polos.
Cool. I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, I tried showing you once and you weren't a fan. He like reviews fried rice.
Is that when I got busted because I was like, to my wife, and you're like, I can hear you. It's because I'm so fucking loud, I can't be secretive.
This is really bad.
No, I was like, so funny, like to my wife, and you were like, God damn it, I can hear you.
Oh, really?
I was in the kitchen, you were in the living room. I was like, fuck.
Oh, man. And that's it for what I'm doing with my life. So is there anything else you want to add before we jet off on this? By the way, hopefully it sounds seamless, but my brother's microphone was not on for portions of this episode. We had to stop it multiple times. Editing's going to be fun for sure for me. So hopefully it doesn't sound too jarring with his just un-microphoned voice.
Yes.
That's such a moment of suspense. People are going to be like, is it off now?
Oh, it's fun. On.
All right. But it's
time to go because my seat is dripping with sweat. I probably need a shower because I have a crushed velvet office chair and I regret my decisions on that one.
Well, on that note, that's all we got time for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Spider-Man, the animated series. We'll try and stick to one episode per week for the next 19 weeks. But who knows? We probably won't. But we're going to try.
Through Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Could be fun. We can try. We're dedicated, so we're hoping to do it. Anyway, until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
Thank you. Come again.
No!
And until next time, remember, With a great podcast comes great recordability. Goodbye. Yeah.
Goodbye. Blinded, 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 blinded